All your favorite CBC podcasts are now available on YouTube. The best in award-winning true crime investigations, hilarious comedies, vibrant pop culture conversations, and even more audio series are all available on CBC Podcast's YouTube channel. You'll also find exclusive video first episodes, YouTube shorts, and behind-the-scenes content from our hosts and producers that you can't find anywhere else. So if YouTube is your go-to source for podcasts, just search CBC Podcasts and hit subscribe, and you'll never miss the latest update.
This is a CBC podcast.
Halloween's the most intricate timeline of any franchise. Do you want me to quickly take you through how ridiculous
it
is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So bad.
This is Matt Gourley. You may know him as the co-host on the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast.
Okay, so tell me we're going to start the podcast.
Okay, you're Conan now, and I'll be Matt Gourley. I'm just put down my banjo and my antique felt hat.
But he also makes another show.
Most appropriate to this episode today is that I do a podcast with Paul Rust called With Gourley and Rust, where we tend to tackle horror franchises one mini season at a time.
And right now, he's taking us through the convoluted chronology of all the Halloween movies.
Halloween 1 comes out. Then 2 years later, Halloween 2, which is a direct sequel and takes place the same night. So it picks up right where the second one left off.
Like Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Yes. Then John Carpenter, who created this series, didn't want to continue on with it. So they took a real left turn with Halloween 3, where they decided they were going to start a franchise series. And Halloween 3 has nothing to do with Michael Myers other than you see a commercial for the movie Halloween in the background on a TV. And it tanked. So then the franchise died. And then in the late 80s, they came back with three more installments, 4, 5, and 6, that were about Jamie Lee Curtis's character's daughter. Uh-huh. Oh, part 6, by the way, has two versions because it completely fell apart. The character of Dr. Loomis died during the filming. And both versions are completely unintelligible. And they're kind of fun to watch in that sense, too. There's one point where Michael Myers can't go chase people down a hallway because someone has placed ancient runes on the ground, like cultish runes, and he sees them and is like, ugh.
Why are we going through this wild chronology of Halloween? Well, Maddie, Ryan, and I are about to have a sleepover. We're going to stay up late and watch a bunch of horror movies, and we wanted Matt to give us some ideas of what we should watch. He started with recommending Halloween, and guess what? He's still going.
H2O is the 7th installment. It stars Jamie Lee Curtis at a later date, and they wiped away all the previous Halloween movies except for part 1 and part 2. So then the next movie is Halloween Resurrection, which stars Tyra Banks and Busta Rhymes. Yes. And it's a reality show set within Michael Myers' house. Can you spend the night in Michael Myers' old house? And in the end, Busta Rhymes kills Michael Myers with the karate moves, and it felt contractual.
Yeah.
Buster Rhymes said, if you want me in this movie, I get to kick Michael Myers' ass because no one's ever done it before, and I'm Buster Rhymes. It's in the name.
I get to choreograph it. Yes. It'll look cool. That is very much my favorite.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
Jamie Lee Curtis dies in the beginning of that movie, but they continue that storyline on. Then that thread stops and Rob Zombie comes in and remakes the original Halloween and wipes everything away, all the previous movies. Then he does his own sequel. Then that stops. And then David Gordon Green and Danny McBride come along and do this new trilogy that just came out, which wipes away all the movies except for part 1. It doesn't even have the sequel involved because in the sequel, it's revealed that Michael Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis's character are brother and sister, which John Carpenter has since said was a dumb move, and he was just trying to like one up Darth Vader being Luke's father by having some little twist in that.
He's so rad.
And when those movies came out, was there like a title card that's like, okay,
no,
forget everything.
You're allowed to like the first one, but this one does not take into account.
I know there should be.
You just figure that out.
So you can watch, I think, 4 or 5 separate forks in the road timelines, all based off the original movie, and one of them not even based off that. It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous is right. 13 ridiculous movies. Will we watch them all? No. But we got other recommendations from Matt.
I really, really enjoy Terror Train. Have you seen Misery? The Hand with Michael Caine.
We want to immerse ourselves in scary cinema, pick apart the lighting tricks, the jump scares, the special effects, and the surprising twists.
So maybe at the end of our horror movie, it was all a dream.
It's on the table.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably... Okay.
You guys all just look so worried.
I said yes.
On this episode, we are learning how to scare.
It is nice on this knock and
it's Friday night. The 13th? No, but still kind of scary, right? Friday, the scariest day of the week next to Wednesday.
Guess it's kind of a jar all this.
Mark?
Hello? Mark?
We're here wrestling. Oh my god.
Dude.
Welcome to Horror Sleepover Movie Night. Maddie and Ryan are coming over to my house for a horror movie scare-a-thon. A cinematic smorgasbord. A lollapalooza. Make yourself at home, except don't sit there, it's broken.
Okay.
Can I get you anything? We have water. In a few weeks, we're going to make our short horror film. It's about a monster with black eyes calmly trying to get through a sliding patio door. Freaky, right? Okay. Oh, I'll make popcorn. Okay, let me just make it. But that idea is all we have right now. We haven't started writing a script. We got nothing. It'll be 2 minutes.
Don't stand so close to the microwave, Mark.
You're... I have to see that it's popping.
You're pressing your face right up against.
And so tonight, we're going to watch a bunch of movies that are not only intended to inspire us to make a horror movie, or in Maddie's case, introduce her to horror movies. We want to learn something pretty specific. How to scare. Okay, is everybody cozy?
Yeah, thanks for the blankets.
You're welcome. And so, we're going to watch these films to analyze what makes them scary. What techniques do they use to induce fear? The lighting, the music, the acting, the effects. And what techniques can we try to steal for our own movie? Borrow. And since we're making a short, we started by watching one of the most successful horror short films of the last few years. I think this one is the gold standard of all of them. And it's called Lights Out.
Oh, I love this one.
Yeah. Have you seen it, Maddie?
Of course not.
It's so good. And they actually created based on the success of this, I think they made a full-length feature.
It's pretty cool. It's under 3 minutes. It's like a concept that I think we can all relate to.
Mm-hmm.
That they turned into something very terrifying.
Okay, so let's watch it. So, Lights Out is about a woman going to bed, but when she turns out the light in the hallway...
There's a guy.
She sees the silhouette of what looks like a man.
There's a very weird shadow.
It's getting closer.
Oh, and that's gone.
Keep the light on, idiot.
And that's what she does. In fact, she uses duct tape on the light switch to keep it on.
No dialogue, too.
And then she goes to bed. But the light in the hallway turns off. Now the lights go off in the hallway.
I'm going to throw up.
She hides under the covers.
I don't think the covers are going to save you, lady.
I'm watching with one eye. And there he is.
Oh.
It's over.
And there it was.
Horrible.
Horrible in the sense that you thought it was a bad horror short, or horrible because you were horrified by it and the scariness?
Just feel so scared now.
Yeah.
So it did. So it worked.
Great.
But like, there was nice, there's misdirection in there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there was like something to remember, like, you look up, everything's fine. She goes back into the covers. She comes up, she looks to the left, everything's fine. She looks to the right, boom!
I think the thing I'm most impressed by is that just the lights on, lights off at the beginning, where when they go off, there's clearly a silhouette of something. Mm-hmm. When it goes on, it's gone. Just that simple trick, even though it's like not a trick, but it's enough that it seems like it could be her imagination or a trick of the light. Mm. Thought that was like, that simple stuff is really great.
Totally.
What happens in the feature film?
I don't know. Never seen it.
I never saw it either.
Maddie?
Our horror fest went on all night. We watched movies that blended horror and comedy, like Gremlins.
So Gremlins are not Furbies.
No.
You ruled that out. We turned off all the lights and watched The Ring.
Oh, no. She's come out of the TV.
Here she comes.
What if she comes out of our TV right now?
That's possible. The thing. That's what you're supposed to worry about. We noticed in Matt Gourley's pick, Halloween, they use a really cool trick to hide the villain, Michael Myers, in the shadows for a great jump scare. Whoa.
We should talk to a lighting designer.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
You can't just because we're going to be probably relying a lot of practical light. Mm-hmm. This is how it looks, based, I don't know, maybe we're going to, but it would be fun to talk to someone about how to even attempt to use shadows.
Then, in a surprise twist, Maddie put on Nightmare on Elm Street.
So Freddy Krueger, he kills you while you're sleeping.
Yeah, right.
We liked one scene in particular where Freddy Krueger is chasing a woman in an alley.
Oh, no.
And look, his arms are getting long. Oh, it's so scary.
His arms get freakishly long and he moves in this almost silly way.
But when a human moves in a non-human way, it's terrifying.
Yeah. I think also that, when that is how nightmares feel, where you're just it's random, you're running around, someone's chasing you. It does, even though it's kind of a bad horror movie, it is a realistic nightmare.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. We also liked the blood.
Something about the aesthetic, though, of the traditional red blood that doesn't really look like blood. It looks a horror movie. There's something cool about it.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Campy.
And then, at around midnight, we put on a scene from one of my favorite horror movies, Poltergeist.
Okay, so this is a scene from the movie Poltergeist. It's a really quick scene. I wanted you to watch it because it's, in theory, anyone can do this scene. It's so simple. Mm-hmm. It's it takes no effects. Mm. It just takes a couple of guys that you don't see in the off camera doing something. I love it. So let's just have a look.
Cool.
In this scene, weird things are happening in a house, and the mother accuses her daughter of pushing the chairs away from the kitchen table. Then she walks across the room, and the camera follows her. And when she comes back, she finds the chair stacked on top of the table.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
So she goes off camera then, and she just picks something up, and in real time, what they really do in the movie is they really three or four people just go and stack these chairs up really quickly, and then you go back and the chairs are stacked in an impossible way that Carol Ann couldn't have done.
See, that's cool.
I like it a lot. Because it's a practical effect that doesn't cost anything, except for the cost of chairs.
That's something we could do. Not that exact thing, but something like that.
Yeah. I remember
this. Maybe that exact thing.
All of these movies were giving us inspiration on what to do in our film. But we also wanted to learn what not to do. And we had a perfect movie to teach us that.
The Hand with Michael Caine.
When talking to Matt Gourley, he was adamant that we watch The Hand, starring Michael Caine.
I think it's from 1980, and he's a comic book artist that gets in a car accident and loses his hand, and his hand starts to act out all his repressed anger and kill people for him. His severed hand, lost at the crime scene or the accident scene, it finds its way across country to kill people for him. Yeah,
across country.
Yeah, it does the telephone phone book, let your fingers do the walking.
Yes.
Sexy lady.
I won't say what the ultimate deal is with it, but I will say this. This movie is written and directed by Oliver Stone. It's, I think, his second movie, I forget. And the best, there is a fight. Michael Caine has a fight with his own hand at one point. And the best part about it is, so he's holding a prosthetic hand up to his neck, right? The hand is strangling him, and he's holding the wrist of the hand strangling him. But he can't pull it away. Even though the hand is not connected to anything, it still somehow has physical leverage over him, like a full-bodied human.
It's my own hand!
Yeah, it's not that it's clinging on to his neck. It's still inches from his neck, but he can't, it's...
Oh, I see.
He can't keep it at bay.
I see.
It's really...
So it's that.
It's just so little. A hand is so little. Even if you have a big hand, it's really... It's like being afraid of a rodent.
I know. It's like a marmoset coming across the country to kill people.
Yeah. I just want to quickly circle back. I just learned that Oliver Stone is in The Hand. He has a part. He plays a bum. Does he have a, is that
yeah, and he's a, it's a tour de force performance. Oh, it really is. In fact, I think he's the maybe the first or second victim of The Hand.
Okay.
So you have Oliver Stone, future director and interviewer of Vladimir Putin, directing himself being killed by Michael Caine's severed hand. As like not just a homeless person, but I'm talking classic golden age cinema, you know, wino with the 5 o'clock shadow and the old fedora, kind of like, what are you kids doing?
With that rousing endorsement, we had to put it on, and it was, well, Maddie sums it up best.
I don't get what's going on.
If we're looking for what not to do, yeah. I think the main takeaway here is have your story make sense. A lot of it was over the top and really confusing. There was one scene, however, that was visceral. It's early in the film. Michael Caine is the passenger in a car that is trying to pass a truck on a two-lane road.
Oh, he puts his arm out the window.
Oh, my God.
Then another car is coming toward him, and a third car is blocking them from returning to their lane. Then Michael Caine sticks his hand out the window to wave them back. Am I making sense? I'm not sure I am. But anyway, there's a crash, and he loses his hand.
Something. Is he saying hand? Is he saying, ah, hand?
My hand.
My hand, right.
And as clumsy as it was, there was something unsettling about it.
Oh,
wow.
I hated that so much.
That's something that could happen to anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, that just felt like a...
It did just make me literally think about my hand getting cut off, and that gave me a horrible, horrible feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that was kind of helpful, I guess, or no, not really.
Yeah, does anyone want to watch like a Full House or something to cleanse the palate?
Yeah.
Talk about scary. Yeah.
Anyway, pretty soon it was time to go to sleep. And in the morning, as the sun rose on our Fright Night sleepover, we talked about what inspired us.
How did you all sleep last night?
Terrible.
Not well.
Nightmares.
Yeah? Well, I had to keep the light on.
I noticed that, and I kept turning it off. I kept going
it was
to
you.
Yeah, I kept going to the end of the hall and turning off the light.
Darn it, Mark! Yeah. I want to learn about some lighting stuff, like you said, Mark. I want to learn at least one lighting trick because I know none right now.
Yeah,
I don't know how much lighting we'll have access to. I really want to talk to someone about music.
Hmm.
And then you brought it up. This like the simplicity of what we can do to try to make people scared with our limited resources, like panning the camera away, changing one thing, opening a door behind us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how creative can we be with spending no money and just making an interesting thing happen? The sleepover gave us a good list of tricks and techniques we wanted to employ in our movie, from lighting to practical effects. But how do we actually pull these things off? We have no idea. Good thing we found someone who does.
Hi, I'm Jessie Cruikshank.
Jessie Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
Is this when I go?
Yeah, just go ahead.
I am Gary Michael Schultz. I am a filmmaker and a horror movie enthusiast.
Gary Michael Schultz is a prolific DIY filmmaker. He directed the 2013 horror film Devil in My Ride, starring horror legend Sid Haig.
You fellas have really gotten into a mess. Doreen is possessed by the Inculta demon. You have 72 hours to free your soul, and the only exorcism priest I know is living on the streets of Las Vegas.
And we need him because we don't know what we're doing. Can you tell me what, like, just like, can you really brass tacks this? Like, I don't know how to make a short horror movie. Like, we have iPhones. Like, I assume, like, you know, we'll have a little bit of like sound help. You know, we've got some equipment. I don't know anything about lighting. You know, okay. I mean, I do, but I don't. Like, I don't want to speak
for a lot of things we don't know.
Yes.
But that's okay. But,
you know, crash course, like, mm-hmm. like, you know, what, yeah. Like where does the money go? You know, like.
Okay. Well, you want to get as much stuff as you can mm-hmm. for free, mm-hmm. obviously. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to make a short horror film. First thing we're going to do is we're going to put together an undeniable killer 10-pager under script. All right. We would love it if our short horror film was 5 or 6 minutes, man. If mm-hmm. you can put together a killer 5-minute short, it's the kind of short that back in the festival days would get more of a run because they would often play shorts in front of the features when you go right. to a festival, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if your short's 5 minutes long, it's going to get programmed a lot more than if it's 15 yeah. minutes because they may put two mm-hmm. or three of those 5-minute ones in front, but you may only get one 15-minute. So keep it yeah. tight. Mm-hmm. Keep it scary. You know, if it's a 5-minute short, 1 minute in, we already want, like 30 seconds in, we want an inciting incident mm-hmm. to happen. Right. A minute and a half in, we want a turning point. Mm-hmm. You know, 4 minutes in, we want to be into our climax. Like everything just kind of gets, you can't see this on a podcast. it gets squished together.
Let the record show he's making the squished motions with his hands.
And then also, what do you have at your disposal? You know, mm-hmm. you just said the iPhone. Fortunately, the iPhone has an awesome camera in it yeah. nowadays. You could mm-hmm. totally make a horror film with an iPhone. I would say what I would do then is I would make sure that my sound is really taken care of. Audiences almost sometimes will be more forgiving at a horror movie that looks bad than a horror mm-hmm. movie that sounds mm-hmm. bad. Mm-hmm. You know, get mm-hmm. yourself a sound guy. Make sure that dialogue is warm mm-hmm. and clear and people understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. And then when you sound design the film, sound design is yeah. so important to horror. You know, it's a big tool in building suspense, you know, what you put in and take away. The example that everyone kind of points to is Jaws. That film, one of the most famous themes, the dun, 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 mm-hmm. dun, you know, and it does that every single time that the shark is mm-hmm. coming up, except for once. It doesn't do it once. In the climax, when Roy Scheider's hung over and then the shark right. bursts out of the water and just roar, there's no music score underneath it. Because Spielberg mm-hmm. just spent an hour and a half programming us to know shark's coming, right. shark's coming. And then he drops it on us. You know, that sound design, that simple giving and taking oh, away, you know, just makes that scare. Oh my God. You mm-hmm. know, and it becomes one of the biggest scares of all time. So I would say like whatever means you can use to film on, put it mm-hmm. together. Get as much stuff as you can for free. The locations, try to keep them. If you can do it all in one location that you can get for free, do it. Because mm-hmm. you're going to need to feed your crew for the 2 or 3 days you're going to be filming. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have things that are going to cost money, like hard drives.
Yeah, right.
You're going to borrow a computer to edit on so you don't right. have to spend money on that. Mm-hmm. You're going to go to the local film school and you're going to find yourself a couple of really sharp yeah. students that are really hungry and want to yeah. work for free. But you're going to also give them opportunities to work on cool mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, as someone that worked at a film school for so long, that's how I made so many of my shorts was I became a mentor to a lot of students and I would bring them on and I would give them real mm-hmm. stuff to do. You're not just getting my coffee. We're going to make a film cool. together, you know? And so get help by doing that. The biggest thing you can do, and this is going to sound weak, but it's so true, is just ask, you mm-hmm. know, it's not as, if you grew up in small town America, making a movie is super exciting and people all want to get involved. You don't really get that thrill in Los Angeles quite mm-hmm. the same, mm-hmm. but ask, people want to get involved in movies. Movies are still mm-hmm. exciting. It's mm-hmm. fun to be involved in that. And there are very few things more fun than a horror movie, man. Throwing fake blood around is a blast. Maddie, your opinion is going to change so hard by the end of this. You're going to be the biggest fan by the end of this because you're going to have more fun making a horror movie than any other cool. genre. Watch.
We'd be remiss to not kind of get into a little bit of like, as a writer, as we go into writing our mm-hmm. script, like how do you build suspense on the script and when you're filming it, you know, mm-hmm. like filmmaking is beyond me at this point. But, no. But you know,
all of our questions are like, how do you do it?
Yes.
How do you do it?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's hard to give a direct answer in a short amount of time.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
But well, the first rule of writing that they always teach you and that I always taught was write what you know. Mm-hmm. Okay. That doesn't mean the character has to be you, but there are always
the character is going shopping. Yeah.
Okay. And then what happens when they go shopping?
Yeah.
So the inciting incident is the character's going shopping. Mm-hmm. What happens next? They get locked in a dressing room.
Scary. Okay?
Turning point is what's on the other side of the dressing room door?
Something scarier.
I'm asking you, Maddie. What's on the side of the dressing room
door? A monster.
Yes.
A monster.
Yes.
All right. Now, how are we going to get out this door? We have to defeat the monster to do it. Right? Not that, you know, like right, what you know, it comes together.
But we're three comedians.
Yes.
And I feel like I think this isn't news. Like there's a real connection between writing a joke and writing like a suspense or like, you know, making somebody scared. Do you write gags? Like, do you have like, they dig 100%. The grave, there's a thing that they see, it's not the real scary thing, but the actual scary thing pops out. Pardon my vocabulary.
Yeah. No, that's great. I think it's very similar, you know. Part of what makes a horror movie really enjoyable is when you infuse fun into it. Now, fun can be a joke, or fun can be Terrifier 2, where it's so ridiculously, obnoxiously disgusting, and you're kind of like, I'm having fun. but there's some kind of, but there's an energy involved in that that's kind of insane, but is kind of fun. But much like a joke where there is a setup and then there's a direction you think you're taking the joke in, but then you flip it the other way. You flip it on its side where there's a juxtaposition where maybe you didn't see the joke going this way and then the punchline comes in. Horror movie is like that. There's a lot of sleight of hand, you know. I'm digging the grave and I'm making you think a zombie's going to come out of the grave, but when I get in there, the grave's empty and the zombie's behind me. Misdirection is key in your short. So how you build scares, misdirection is one tool. Letting the audience feel safe for a moment. Mm-hmm. Before you come in and scare the crap out of them. And things as simple as what's on the other side of the door, what's in the darkness. You can be a small kid and dark bedroom was like the scariest thing growing up. You know, think about how long it would take you to walk down the dark hallway of your home if you were afraid of something. You know, I had an uncle, oh my God, trauma just hit me. I had an uncle one time that scared the living crap out of me. And I remember I was a little kid and my mom was in on it and we were at the house and I heard something in the bathroom down at the end of the hallway. And my mom was like, well, go see what that was. And for some reason, I'm remembering Twizzlers. I think I was eating a Twizzler and I went down to it and my uncle hid in the shower and jumped out and scared the living crap out. I was mad at him for years.
Sounds like you might still be mad at him.
And everyone thought it was funny. I might be. Just that anticipation of what is in there. And I remember walking into that bathroom and okay, it's dark. And then he pulled the shower curtain back because he was in the shower. So I went to the dark bathroom. Relief. There's nothing in there. Shower curtain. Oh my God. So it's always about that extra. Okay. We're safe. No, you're not.
Right. That's great. Just the digging, there's nothing in the hole. There's somebody that the thing's behind like that, that distillation is very helpful.
Yeah. To me. Yeah. And you know, building suspense and horror, I think is one of the hardest things to do, but it will, if you do it though, it will make your short horror film successful, you know, like, it could be as simple as your short horror film could be that it could be about a kid who's just going down the dark hallway and then he gets there and there's nothing really there. And he's like, oh, okay. And then something jumps out and scares the crap out of him in the audience. That's our short horror film. It's 90 seconds long.
Right.
It still works because it's still giving me a visceral reaction, that adrenaline still going afterwards. You know, I have this very safe release where I can explore those fears without having to put myself in real danger. You know, horror is one of the best genres at subverting and contextualizing things, you know, what our fears represent. And what they represent to a character, you know, I am afraid of something because of why. And then you go back and you dig into that trauma and then hopefully you find a way to work through it.
Right.
And horror, you know what it is? Horror is therapy. That's boom. Your soundbite.
We got it. We got it. We got it right near the end of the interview. We got it.
Thank you so much.
We'll send you our rough cut when we have it for you to peruse. Yeah.
I can't wait. Yeah. And when you guys get to that part of the production, if you ever need to hit me up for anything, I'm here, man.
Thank you so much.
Can you direct it and write it?
Yeah. Can you do it?
From what not to do with a severed hand to jump scare misdirection. This week, we went heavy on horror theory, but now we have to put it into practice. Next time, we're going to start talking about actually making this movie. And since comedy and horror are related, like we discussed with Gary, are we going to have an unfair advantage making our little short? According to Ronnie Chang from The Daily Show and the horror film Megan, no, we are not.
So I think we would probably lean more towards something more psychological, horror, or something like that.
Okay.
You know what? You don't think we can pull that off?
No, it is psychological. All of my in-laws are coming. I don't know what's up.
That's next time on Let's Make a Horror. Let's Make a Horror is a production of CBC Podcasts and Kelly & Kelly, created by Kelly & Kelly. Hosted by Ryan Beal, Mark Chavez, and Maddie Kelly. This episode was written and produced by Dave Shumka and Chris Kelly. For Kelly & Kelly, the executive producers are Lauren Berkovich and Pat Kelly. Associate producer, Rebecca Peng. For CBC, Anna Ashite is the coordinating producer. Jeff Turner is the senior producer. The executive producer is Chris Oak. And RF Narani is the director of CBC Podcasts. Our theme song is by Chris Kelly. Hello? Hello? Who is this? Who is this? Cosmo? Cosmo?
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.